Automated grading in school has come a long way from those Scantron bubble sheets. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Amy Scott, in for Molly Wood. Every Monday this fall, we're talking about technology and education because many students, caregivers, and teachers are getting a crash course in ed tech. Even before the pandemic, one way technology has been creeping into students' lives is through grading. And we're not just talking about those multiple choice bubble sheets that have been around for decades. The Educational Testing Service, which creates statewide assessments for K through 12 students, along with higher ed tests like the GRE, has been using artificial intelligence to grade essays since 1999. But can AI really tell good writing from bad? Andreas Orania is Vice President of Assessment and Learning Technology Development for ETS. He says systems are trained to look for things like style, grammar, and how arguments are built.
A system is trained to extract a lot of features of good and bad writing. And so what that system does then, it aggregates all that data from an essay after processing it, and then it produces some kind of professional score. The scores of the computer are being compared to a human rater. And then if there's a big discrepancy, usually a third rater comes in to resolve that discrepancy.
So it's actually sort of a check on the human reviewer?
It is the way we use it. It is a check on the human reviewer.
Do you see this ever, the AI ever being good enough to replace teachers in the sort of regular grading that they do, which I know is one of their many teachers' least favorite activities?
Yeah, so I really believe in that joining forces of computers and humans. And so having systems that help teachers, for example, spot like, hey, a lot of your students are struggling with this topic. Maybe in your next lesson, you want to take a little bit more time, you know, expanding on that. Or maybe, you know, the grading, right? Especially the more low-key grading with fairly straight, forward answers at the lower levels. That's something that a computer can do really well and very reliably. And so helping a teacher so that the teacher can spend more time on personalizing their instruction and giving individual attention, I think is a great way to go about this.
How often do you see the AI catching examples of poor writing that a human has missed and that second expert having to come in?
It depends by exam. So for a practice exam, it may be different than for a GRE exam. But we have pretty strict rules around that, where even a more than a 1.5 point difference is already more than we want to tolerate. And you're talking now about maybe a 6 point skill. And so, you know, it depends on the exam. It can be 5%, it can be 10%. But I think the important point is that whenever there's a discrepancy, we're going to check into it. We're never letting something go without that check.
We've seen stories of students, you know, kind of gaming the system, just writing a bunch of keywords that they know the system is going to be looking for and getting a perfect score. What's the usefulness of that kind of grading if it can easily be gamed?
If a system is that easily gameable, it's obviously not a very good system and it needs to be revisited. Now, you have to take into account what the purpose was. So if the purpose of a system is to help a student in a low-stakes environment learn or to help inform a teacher, the needs of that system are obviously very different than if you make big life decisions about admitting someone or other, very impactful decisions based on it. And so, you know, it depends on how you use it.
Clearly, there are some school systems that are using AI in this way. What role do you see the companies that make the technology having in, you know, preventing it from being used in a way that you think is not actually that helpful?
We have done a bunch of presentations over the past couple of years to kind of set up some key questions that we believe teachers should ask. Is the data that is being used in these systems appropriate for my students, right? Are these models related to what my students need? Can I intervene in the system? All these kind of questions that teachers need to ask. And I think it's really important that as we move further and further in this automated world, that we really tool people and arm people with those questions and being able to make good judgments for whether these tools are good for the learning that happens in their classrooms or not.
Andreas, you've been with the company for a really long time working on this technology. Do you see a point when your work is done, it all works as well as human grading?
I don't think that point will ever come, and not because these systems aren't progressing really rapidly, because they're getting better and better. But the reason why I don't think that will ever happen is because as soon as we get these systems really well done to do what we know now, we as a society want way more things, and we are always wanting more things than we wanted before. And so our creativity and our desire for new things will always outpace what we can model at any point in time.
Andreas Aranha is with ETS. And now for some related links. Monica Chin reported a piece last month for The Verge about the virtual learning app Edgenuity. It was being used to grade assignments in a 7th grade history class in Los Angeles. One 12-year-old student received a 50 out of 100 on his first assignment. Then his mom, a history teacher herself, caught on that the grading software was looking for certain key words and would mark an answer wrong if those words weren't there. So she and her son decided to play along. For a question about the Byzantine Empire, for example, the student wrote a couple of sentences and then just a list of relevant words like wealth, caravan, ship, India. That was apparently all it took. He started getting perfect grades, which is why, as Andreas Aranha pointed out, even if AI can help, there are still some things where a human should always be in the mix. I'm Amy Scott, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.